there are opportunities in life for gaining knowledge and experience.
So let's have a conversation.
Okay. What would you like to have a conversation about?
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is our 49th episode and our first live episode coming at you from Herent, Belgium. Mm-hmm. So,
you can follow along there. Hi, everyone. And, we're looking forward to your comments.
Yeah. This is an interactive channel, so you can chat with us or post questions or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Get in touch.
Yeah. So we're in Belgium. This is a very strange thing, but let's just break the ice by opening the beer.
Yes, let's just do that.
Because it is steaming hot down here.
It is piping.
It is 32 degrees outside. We have the window open, actually.
Hot.
Damn. Yes. So,
I think it's like 34 or 5 degrees now in the yard.
Yeah.
Okay. See, okay, I went to this specialty store this morning, which had a lot of local beer, and came up with this. It's called Santi Bernardus white beer, which is what I like.
Yeah.
And I will be now opening it.
I can see it's a 5.5%
beer. How long have we waited for this, Jonah, to be able to pour beer live on the internet? This is this is excitement. This is achievement.
Yes.
Let's go. By the way, these are glasses that the folks, owners of this house, gave us when me and Shatn arrived here.
Yeah. It's apparently the local beer of this area, which is Hoegaarden.
Hoegaarden, yes.
The favorite.
We're at the right area here, I'll tell you that.
You have to remember to pour in front of the mic, because we don't really hear all that stuff.
Yeah.
But we'll do this.
We're live. Things are going to go wrong.
Yes. Already now. How is the St. Bernardus wit?
Doesn't look as... it looks a little lagerish, but still lagerish slash white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. See, now he drinks. We can actually see that he's drinking.
Tell you what, I needed that.
Yeah.
It is piping hot here.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. Yeah.
Hoegaarden, good or?
Jury's out. We'll see. Yeah.
Okay.
You go.
Okay, so I had no choice here because Tigby went out to get this beer, but this one is called Quintin. Quintin.
Yes.
There's a witch on the front. It's a bio-organic beer, so that's good.
So we have good and evil. We have like a
monk. The monk and the witch.
And the witch, yes.
The occult.
Yes.
And the...
And the
religious.
Holy.
Yeah. And the holy. this is a 5.9% beer. And we'll see if that is any different. It has one of these fun click top things.
Let me hear that.
If I can figure out how to do it.
Oof. Nice.
Yeah. And
pouring. Yes, he is pouring. This is the time when I would be, you know, casting it.
Yeah.
You know, looking at it.
Yeah. So, looks a bit...
Pretty much the same.
Yeah. Like the same. It's wheatish, but with a very grumpy quality to it. And a big head. So, I need to get through all that foam.
We'll just wait.
It's good though.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
And exactly what you need for this.
Yes.
Heat.
And you did request white beer for this.
Yeah. Even though my preferred ones are porters and stouts and the like, then this is the only right thing to do in this.
Yeah. So should we complain a little more about the heat? Get Icelanders just mad at us?
No.
No.
Let's stop about complaining. This is not a complaining podcast, but it is hot.
Anyways, we're in Belgium doing a home exchange. Me and Shep and Sumalede and Rune and Erin and Raskwa came over for 10 days. and it's been just fantastic. The owners of this house have been fantastic and gracious and allowed us to do this here. Mm-hmm. And they're now currently in Iceland in our home. And it's just been awesome, really.
Yeah.
I mean, the weather's been great. It's been just so relaxing. This is a great home.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just had a blast, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Amazing time.
Yeah, we have a close backyard and we have some hens
mm-hmm.
that give us eggs every day.
Yeah.
And general excitement with the kids.
Yeah. Main event all the time.
Yeah.
Like every time they wake up, out to feed the hens and get the eggs.
We just pray there are two, so there would be no fighting.
Yeah. But it is great seeing these kids, like our kids together,
mm-hmm.
Finally, because we talk so much together and having them get to know each other.
And the girls have been inseparable, of course. Mm-hmm. They're like best friends from childhood. And it's great for them as well. So it all works out, doesn't it?
And we're together and we can talk film.
Yes.
Try to watch movies.
Try watching something, yeah.
Unfortunately, not so much time when it all comes down to it.
Yeah.
Also, this family has a projector, which means we can't really watch anything mm-hmm. during the day. And once it gets past 9 o'clock, we're starting to get tired.
People are tired, yes.
Yeah.
From all the heat.
Yeah. But anyway, we have been watching a few things. And before we got here, when we were still in Denmark, we arrived like a week later.
Mm-hmm.
Elin has gotten into Glow.
Yes.
And you guys have been watching the newest episode.
We actually couldn't finish it before you guys came here. So we're just going to finish it after you leave or after we come home.
Yeah.
But we're liking it, as are you and Elin, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Elin really didn't like this whole wrestling thing. She was so much against it. That's why I watched it by myself first.
Mm-hmm.
But I really tried to make her watch it.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's just totally hooked.
Yeah.
She loves the angle with focus on women.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's so much empowerment going on, even though it's very small outfits all these women have on. You know,
true.
They wear not much clothing, but their characters are so well established, and it doesn't matter. And that's the beauty of it. You see the characters more than them. You know,
you do. There's a drawback, though. There's an episode where they play the actual show
mm-hmm.
they're making,
mm-hmm.
and then we have scenes where we have never seen taped. You know, where they like do these extra acted scenes mm-hmm. and it's never been even mentioned on the show before.
No.
So that was a little bit annoying, a little bit, but it was fun to watch, wasn't
it? The only thing they did that intro sequence, which was about the same style.
They did that.
But it was jarring to see that whole episode. I was always thinking, when are they going to cut back to something real?
But
on the other hand, it established what they were doing and mm-hmm. what they actually were selling or trying to sell.
Yeah, of course.
Rather than just the wrestling.
And this is like based on a thing, you know, a real thing that was.
Yeah.
And the gorgeous ladies of wrestling was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I always get to say the glorious women of wrestling, but, you know, that's me. It is apparently the gorgeous ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. But did you see the documentary on Netflix? There's a Netflix documentary.
About Glow.
Yeah, about the real
Glow. The original stuff.
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
I saw probably the first 30 minutes of that one one evening. And I was quite surprised to see how close they stick to the story,
really?
Actually. There's
the
main characters are basically the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And also the whole beginning of season one that I rewatched because Elin has gotten into it and it was great to see it again. It's so strange watching a season again and knowing the characters instead of trying to get to know them.
Yeah.
And this one works perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I was enjoying it so much more this time than the first time around
mm-hmm.
because I saw them again.
Yeah.
But I also realized that they stayed very true to that initial story with how their you know, a coach had to take one out, for instance, in order to he rendered her unconscious in order for them to accept wrestling as a real thing.
Sure.
And they do the same thing in the show. And probably when I watched it the first time, I was thinking, oh, that's a bit much. But apparently that's what happened.
Well, wrestling is not really a thing that's and it has any kind of normality to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That we know here in the North, at least. But we have been watching something else here. And before we go into that, I mean, that's HBO Nordic, Sharp Objects.
Yeah.
They release one a week. Yes. And we watched three. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all they have released now. What do you think is the difference between having every show available and watching it weekly?
It's more of a slow burn.
Of course.
You probably don't get as fatigued. Sometimes you can get a little bit annoyed with the characters because you continue to see them at such rapid succession.
Exactly.
It's probably one of the reasons why I stopped House of Cards.
I couldn't do that one.
No.
It's too
maybe
stupid.
If it was one a week. The last one we saw like that was Twin Peaks, or at least I did. I followed along diligently every single episode. And that was great because there was so much to take in. It was actually a great thing to be able to decompress everything that you saw for 1 week until you saw the next thing.
So you got Twin Peaks in?
Yes, okay, I did. Good. I did.
And we have some David Lynch connection today, tiny bit, but, you know, that's important for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is very important. Yeah.
So how is Sharp Objects looking to you?
Now, a small disclaimer is that yesterday I turned to Alien when we were watching the third episode and said, I'm way too tired for this. And then I just fell asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yes. So I didn't watch the last episode. I watched parts of it.
You know? See, after the second one.
Yeah.
And we were like, yeah, it's good, but mildly intriguing.
Yeah.
But after last night's show, I said, okay, I'm not going to turn my nose at this. I like this.
Yeah.
there's some stuff going on there. His editing is great and he's trying different things and I like the music. I like that the Volvo is basically a character in the show.
Yeah.
She's always in that.
Unfortunately, it's not a Saab.
It's not a Saab, but it's, damn it.
Yeah.
My uncle and my father would not like that. Volvo. No. Saab.
All the way.
Yeah. But at least in the old days when there was like a Saab Volvo thing going on, they would like. But anyways, good show. And excited about it. They do hammer home a bit that she's troubled, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
But that was after the first one. I was like, okay, yes, she's troubled. We get it.
Yeah. But you don't know why she's troubled necessarily. Maybe they...
Not the entire picture is not appeared, no.
And I think that's probably one of the most important parts of this show is that she's an investigative journalist.
Sure.
She's kind of on the outside of the investigation, but probably has more the finger on the pulse.
Absolutely. Or
not the pulse. Anyway, so she's the insider in that equation. But the story is not that much about the girls who are getting killed. It's mainly just why she's back in town. And the more important story here is what's going on in her family.
True. And I would like to see more local flavor.
Yeah.
But you small town local flavor.
Yeah. But you do a little bit with the teens.
Yeah.
You know, and it's fun to see that in the show. It seems very
seems basically 70s. They're always on roller skates.
Yeah.
Not rollerblades.
That's a good point, though, because I've been thinking about her sister, Amma, which coincidentally means grandma in Icelandic. That's her sister.
She's about 15 or
that's
something.
That's Amy Adams' sister.
Yeah.
But there is this weird feeling that she might not actually be there. Don't you agree?
Yeah, do you think?
Yeah. There is this...
Well, she has been seen speaking to her mother.
Yeah.
And Amy Adams.
Her mother might also be a bit wacky after the kid died. She had another sister. Amma was not very well established. Both Elin and I were like...
Yeah, when she finally appeared, yeah.
Who is she? Mm-hmm. And she was just alluded to by the mom.
In the beginning.
She's up in her room. Mm-hmm. It seems more like she might be a figment of people's imagination. Also, she's playing with a dollhouse, which is exactly the same layout as the house that they live in.
She's...
And there was a connection between the help in the house scrubbing the floor and Amma looking at the same piece of the house, the dollhouse.
Okay.
So at least I'm getting that vibe. There's some sort of magical thing about her. There's also another angle to this story about some folklore in this village.
The woman
about
in
a
white.
White lady. So I think there's a more occult.
I think that is a good theory. But I think you should have stayed awake for episode 3.
See,
because
there you go.
She came out a bit and spoke to the detective and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah,
I saw
that, but still, it might
not
be. I actually woke up to that.
I find it unlikely, but I really appreciate the theory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
At least there's something different going on, and they are tormented by their past because there is one girl who died.
Yeah.
You know,
in the family. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think we can recommend it.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to finishing it.
Yeah.
It's 8 episodes. So 5 left.
And it has Patricia Clarkson.
Yes. And Amy Adams.
And Amy Adams, of course.
And also, what's her name? Betty from the Flintstones?
Elizabeth Perkins.
Yes.
I always like to see her.
Yeah. She's very good.
Yeah. She's an 80s. Teen thing,
yeah.
Icon, I think.
Was it her from Big also?
That's what Shep said.
Yeah,
I'm not
Tom Hanks' love interest.
Yeah,
I liked her in that one.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah.
Mm. So that was Sharp Objects.
Yeah,
yeah. Definitely recommend it. But it's currently streaming on HBO, HBO Nordic here, but HBO Go and whatever.
Yeah. Service. So, but if we move on from that, our first main feature of today is a Belgian film. Well,
yes,
by Belgian filmmakers, since we're in Belgium. We know that you guys haven't seen it, or few of you, but... Mm-hmm.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. It's called Un fil inconnu, or The Unknown Girl.
Voilà, c'est elle.
Je n'ai jamais vu à mon cabinet.
Concernant les causes de sa mort, l'enquête avance?
Ça ne vous regarde pas, docteur. C'est nous les enquêteurs, pas vous.
J'ai mis mes doigts, comme ça, sur tes tempes. Et j'ai senti ton cœur qui battait 2 fois plus vite que juste avant quand j'avais pris ton pouls. J'arrive pas à me faire à l'idée qu'on va l'enterrer sans connaître son nom.
C'est vrai, et en même temps, c'est pas vous qui l'avez tué.
Okay, that was a clip from Un fil inconnu, or The Unknown Girl in English, by director and brothers Luc Dardenne and Jean-Pierre Dardenne.
Yeah. I don't know if it was Luc or Jean-Pierre, this one, or are they
both
just doing the
both.
Same?
They're both.
But only one credit, wasn't it?
No, I think it's at least Wikipedia has
okay.
two.
Yeah.
My Bible, as you know.
Yeah, I heard actually the other day that there are some stuff about how you can credit people on films, and therefore if you're 2 people directing, only one can be credited.
Really?
Something like that. There's some stuff in Hollywood. This is obviously not a Hollywood movie, but maybe we have the same kind of legislation somehow here in Europe. It's weird.
Yeah.
But they direct together.
They direct together. I'm sure they have a way of working. I have no idea how that is. I haven't seen anything else from them.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, but this one is from 2016, about a young doctor, a girl who one day she does not answer her door of mm-hmm. her practice because it's very late and it's not open. And as a consequence, this person who did call at her mm-hmm. practice dies, yeah. is killed. And she is very torn by this and tries to kind of find out what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the synopsis, I would say.
It is.
What did you think? Is it a good film?
I think it is. Mm. And actually thinking about it a little bit more, I appreciate it more than I did watching it.
Definitely a few things that I liked about it.
Mm-hmm. It's a slow burn.
True.
Again.
Yeah.
And like with Sharp Objects, which is about like murdered people.
Yeah.
This one is also about this murdered girl, but it's more about her character, the doctor, who didn't open the door.
Mm-hmm.
The way she handles being actually an accomplice to her murder by okay. not opening and figuring out how to deal with it.
Yeah.
And she starts this investigation, her own investigation of mm-hmm. the murder, in order to get some solace herself.
Mm-hmm.
And, as you probably noticed, the camera is basically on her in every single frame.
It's basically every single frame. Not quite, but no. Very close.
Yeah.
Like 98% mm-hmm. of the frames are on her.
Yeah.
I would say. And stylistically, I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very documentary. The camera's up here. You can see. Up here?
Yeah. Yeah.
it's kind of moving around.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of documentary-like yeah, at times.
Yeah.
And also, it's so claustrophobically shot. I mean, we're mm-hmm. always in small rooms.
Yeah, it's true.
Camera's close, a mm. bit intrusive. And wherever she is, there's so little space.
Yeah.
It's like she can't breathe.
Yeah.
And it kind of relates to how she's feeling, I guess.
I think so.
About the whole thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And so that's a specific style, and I'm sure that's done by choice.
Yeah.
And it's well done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you say, it's a slow burner.
Yeah.
Not everybody's going to like it. The girls fell asleep, the both
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think I drifted off even
yeah,
a few
did you?
Times. Caught up with it today.
I stayed strong.
Yeah. You stayed yeah. strong. Yeah. But also, like, most of the movie was very much her continuing with her practice as a doctor. She was getting calls that was completely unrelated to
yeah.
the investigation. She just had to go and be professional and not show emotions. And that was the whole dilemma. She was so emotionally... see, I lost the word. But she was emotionally affected by this whole situation.
Absolutely.
And then she had to stay professional.
Yeah.
There was one scene in particular that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
That they've been setting up this suspense of not answering her phone. Probably something important is okay. going down.
Yeah.
When she finally answered it, there was like an emergency at one of her patients' houses, a cancer patient.
Yeah.
And she ran over there, and they were just playing a really song, like a sweet song to her,
saying goodbye because she was leaving the practice
exactly.
in the beginning, but she didn't.
And it was beautiful, and she's standing there in the doorway, really getting swelled up with emotion mm-hmm. about this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Goes over and hugs him. And there's a real sense of warmth and emotion, personal stuff here. But then the next line she's saying is just like, okay, so let's check you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's just switching it off. And that's the whole shtick somehow of this movie, that she has to deal with being a doctor, being professional, and also caring and being emotional.
And being a woman doctor as well,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Probably
because she kind of gets a little bit attacked almost a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Threatened at least.
Yes.
I just remember that I wanted to ask you to get that song he played.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cancer patient.
The cancer song.
Yeah. I forgot.
Yeah.
Hey, no. Jenny, something.
Yeah. Hey, Jenny.
Jenny. I don't remember. No.
I want you to be your doctor.
Yeah.
or like me, you to be my doctor.
But we should say that Belgium being a country with two official languages, which is like Flemish and Flanders, mm-hmm. which is the area we're in.
Yeah.
And then French in a big part of the country. This picture is from, well, it's shot in Liège.
Or Liège. It's set in Liège.
It's set in Liège. Really know we don't it's really shot. Know, but no. probably there, though. Yeah. There are outside mm-hmm. shots. And it's in French.
Yes.
Yeah. We completely haven't heard much French here in Holland.
Only when we went to Brussels the other day.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, we had to say merci.
Merci beaucoup, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we had to do that.
Poor favor, man.
Mm-hmm. So, that was a bit strange. I think it's very odd in a country like this that there's so like such two distinct languages being spoken. Like, it seems like half and half.
It's something you probably just don't even think about when you live here. Like in the movie theater when we saw The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
We had subtitles in French and Flemish.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Same time. One line each.
That was strange.
Yeah.
For a while. That's
strange.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Unknown Girl, I really enjoyed it. I actually want to rewatch it.
Could be fun.
Now that we've been thinking and talking about it a little bit.
Yeah. It's a thing. You need to be like... take it with an open mind, you know, mm-hmm. and just really notice the little things.
Yeah.
There are like, I want to mention also like themes.
Yeah.
It seemed to me that everybody in the film was guilty, felt guilty.
Yeah.
Every single, maybe not the police officers, but.
No.
She was really feeling guilty. Mm-hmm. I mean, the boy there and his father, of course, mm-hmm. and her sister of the dead girl.
Mm-hmm.
And, her doctor intern guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was so much like...
But there was also some other stuff with him.
People were carrying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And guilt was a big part. Also, a theme should be like immigration, which is a big thing now, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And the unknown girl was from Gabon, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Gabon.
Remember. Yeah.
So it was strong thematically, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But ultimately, I was engaged throughout the movie, but...
Except when you fell asleep.
Except when I fell asleep. Of course. But it was also, you know, like, we're tired here.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
Because
it's hot.
It's very hot. I mean, look at us. I'm just, like, sweating.
It's clammy.
Know. Yeah.
I'm clammy.
But there's a lot of those themes. And you're right. Everybody did feel like they were guilty. In one way or the other, and maybe even the doctor felt more guilty than she should have been. I mean, she just didn't open or answer her door
mm-hmm.
when her praxis was actually closed.
Yeah, it was closed, like
so,
2 hours
so, I mean,
closed.
It was completely fine not to answer it.
Yeah,
but you know, on the other hand, I also like that they mixed her intern. Intern's life and his problems with the answering of the door. So it seemed like they were actually intertwined a little bit.
Yeah.
It's very well structured. It was not something I was prepared for.
No.
I think. And that's, again, why like rewatching it would actually be a bit of its benefit.
True. I would agree to that. I would recommend it.
Yeah, me too.
If you're into like the good stuff
mm-hmm.
and you want to look at stuff like claustrophobic camera work and stuff like that. And did you notice talking about claustrophobic,
mm-hmm.
that when people were talking to each other, it was just like,
yeah, they were very close to each
very
other.
Very close.
Sometimes with their backs turned to each other. There's one
scene there.
Yeah. And it is very claustrophobic. Yeah. And if you know how to shoot movies, then you have to be extra close in order to get those kind of shots.
Yeah.
So they were uncomfortably close to each other.
There's some uneasy feeling over the whole thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like a horror film or anything like that. It's no.
But there's some tension.
There's tension, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
And a tiny bit of mystery thrown in there as well. Yeah. And I felt the actors were really good. Actually, the main actress, whose name I now realize I forgot to write down.
Yes. And I don't have any, my computer is streaming right now. So,
anything. She felt she was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked familiar, didn't she?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
But I checked out all her other movies and I haven't seen a single one of them.
No.
So I don't know why. She might be similar to another character, like another actor.
I actually mentioned that to you, the girl from Stranger Things, the teenage girl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sister to someone.
Finn?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. She. I think, not to discredit her, I think this character has more like experience in her face when you look at her. Mm-hmm. Like she was very interesting to look at. And that's also one thing you really need in a movie like this, because the camera's so close, so claustrophobic. And every single shot, as I mentioned before, is just of her. Like she is somewhere in the frame and often quite close.
I think they did a good job of making her plain, because she's really beautiful, this girl.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just me, but she felt taller as the movie progressed.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's a point.
I don't know if it's a thing or anything or just something from me.
Maybe it is. I don't think the story in itself would want to convey the sense that she's actually growing from this experience. I have a very flat feeling about the movie and its progression. Mm-hmm. It's very much like
a straight line,
which is a point, because I mean you don't get any closer.
She made some stuff happen though. She accomplished some stuff, especially with the intern.
Yes,
she got through this difficulty, I feel.
Mm-hmm. But somehow
extra noise.
Yeah.
But oh my God, hates those.
Yeah, you can't use that. So, do you have anything else to add, or other than that we should actually recommend this movie? And we should probably go into more Dardenne films.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I recommend it.
It's probably not the first film you should watch by Dardenne. But, you know,
check it out if you're
somewhere.
Interested. Yeah.
Yeah.
Un fil inconnu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The girl unknown.
The unknown girl.
The unknown girl. Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But I think maybe we're about to look at our main feature.
Main feature. Yes. And it is the It is
Incredibles 2.
That's not the way you're supposed to do it, Dad. They want us to do it this way.
I don't know that way. Why would they change math? Math is math.
Okay,
math,
Dad.
Is math.
Hello?
Hey, honey.
How are the kids?
Everything's great.
Is she having adolescence?
And Jack.
He's in excellent health.
That was a clip from Incredibles 2, which me and Runa went to see in Leuven, which is the closest city to this village called Herent. And it's a great town though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Leuven,
mm-hmm.
Great town.
Beautiful. It is a beautiful town.
Yeah.
I was extremely surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, and I see that you brought more beer.
I brought more beer.
Yeah. You were quick.
That's because it's hot.
It is still hot. And I am sweating so much that I need to get this. This is the same one as Tekve had.
Yeah.
Just before. The one with the monk called St. Bernardus.
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah. There we go. And I'm going to pour it. Do you want it?
The
opener?
Yes, please.
The opener. Yeah, I'm pouring it. Maybe I shouldn't pour it into the microphone here.
Saint Bernardus Vit. Mm-hmm. And you have this guy. He's a monk. He has little hair and he's very cheerful. Maybe he's been
cheerful.
Drinking a lot of Saint Bernardus.
Aren't they known to do that?
The monks?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Back in the day, probably. You know. Probably back in the day.
But for me, it's my trusted companion, Cool Garden.
Yes. Well, but we did go to Leuven to watch this movie. And it's always fun to watch movies together. Mm-hmm. It's something we rarely do.
Yeah.
And it's also fun to see how the customs are in a different country's cinema.
Yeah, yeah.
So for one, the first experience is that, I mean, we couldn't get into the local small cinema because it was Incredibles 2 and it was only screened there in the original language.
And we needed to do it in English.
Yeah, yeah, obviously.
They dub it here, of course. Yeah.
Both in French and in Flemish.
Of course.
It's very complicated here. Mm. So it was in Kinopolis, which is a big
chain, I would think.
Thing. Yeah. But they had popcorn with sugar and salt. And coming from Denmark and Iceland, we both just want our popcorn with salt, obviously.
Obviously, yeah. Yes.
But I, well, accidentally, but then I
then
accepted
not so much
it also.
Accidentally.
Is that I took the sugary one, but I have a prop. We got each one of these tin buckets with branded by The Incredibles 2.
Yay!
Mine with sugar, his with salt.
Yeah.
But it actually turned out it didn't really matter whether it was with salt or not. The popcorn was not good.
Popcorn was not good.
No.
Popcorn
there you have
in
it.
Belgium,
yeah.
Kinopolis was not good.
That's our review for Kinopolis. No, not quite yet.
Not quite.
Not quite done.
Because the chairs were not good. Mm-mm. You couldn't tilt them back.
No. How is that? I mean, I remember the first time I went to a cinema where you could tilt back the chairs. It was like a newly restored cinema. And I was like, whoa, this is weird. This is maybe a good idea. Now every cinema has it. And when it's not there, you're just like, oh, you can't sit in this chair. I was moving around so much in order to readjust myself and not be completely stiff in my back. So yeah, that was not good.
That was not good.
One final thing.
Okay.
That I did not enjoy is the breaks in the middle, which you have in Iceland.
Yes, we do. Except in, of course, the only theater that matters in Iceland, which is Bioparadís.
Yeah, they don't have breaks.
No.
But any other theater has that break in the middle, even if it's a 1 hour and 20 minute movie.
Then it's capitalism, baby.
Yeah. I remember when I went to see WALL-E, which is very slow to start, a lot of like almost a silent film in the beginning. Yeah. Just when it about started with some like dialogue and stuff like that, there was a break. And it seemed like it was literally just 5 minutes into the film.
We will now sell you stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. More popcorn.
Yes.
Pop with...
It makes sense, fiscal, bottom line.
It does.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't do that kind of stuff. I understand it with a three and a half hour movie. Like one of the first ones there was a break at was Titanic that I saw in the cinema.
I get that. 3 hours is okay.
Yeah, exactly. It's good to have that break. Yeah. And it's actually designed around having a break. Mm-hmm. I remember that the ship was starting to go down right at the break. So you went out kind of like the people on the Titanic. having your little drink, going to the bathroom, getting ready for the big showdown. Maybe they didn't do that so much, but anyway, we watched The Incredibles 2. No, Incredibles 2.
Minus no, the.
Yeah, for some reason, minus the.
Okay, I'll just do a quick synopsis.
Please do.
Of course, it's number two. The first one is from 2004, mm-hmm. directed and written by Brad Bird, mm-hmm. Who also did, well...
Iron Giant.
The first one, and yes. Iron Giant, which we did last show.
Yeah.
That's two shows in a row with animation.
Yes, and two shows in a row with Brad Bird.
Yeah. That's fandom, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay, it's about this family of incredible people, basically. This is what you have here, and they fight crime and evil.
But are not allowed to.
No.
That's the whole problem.
That's the whole problem
here. It was the
here.
Problem of the first film, and it's still the problem of the second film.
Mm-hmm. So,
which begs the question...
Yeah.
Did we actually need it?
Yeah. Did he phone it in? Did yes. he just, you know...
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Well, I don't think he did.
I don't either.
No. But it's a valid question whether you should make a sequel or not. Because...
We agreed that Coco was not made to be... There shouldn't be a sequel to Coco.
Mm-hmm.
Still, there is. There is going to be a sequel.
Yeah. This one was just much further away. I mean, it's been 14 years mm-hmm. since the first one. And we rewatched the first one. And I had very fond memories of the first one. I loved Incredibles.
Me too.
The Incredibles.
The Incredibles. There it is. There's that there. Okay.
I love that one. Rewatching it, not as much. It has aged. There are... animation style and computer power has changed the name of the game when it comes to animation, computer animation at least, and you can definitely see the shortcomings of The Incredibles. That being said, the story is still very good. It's a very adult story,
mm-hmm.
not pornographic, but it is very adult, and when I watched The Incredibles,
mm-hmm.
I was really thinking this is not very much for kids. I mean, many Pixar movies are on that line between, like, you can see one joke goes for the adults and one for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
This one is more like it's sinister stuff that goes on. It's people killing other people in order to gain their own fame and success. And usually it's hidden a little bit more, but here they actually die. And it's this James Bond-ish spin-off thing, and there are real stakes at hand, you know? And it's not all that much fun. I mean, some of it can look fun. There's also the comic relief of Jack-Jack, the baby, in the first movie. Now I'm only talking about the first movie.
Okay.
And
I was going to say, let's just wait with Jack-Jack a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Jack-Jack is in the first movie, and he got his own short film also.
Did he?
Where you figured out what went on in the house when the other ones were out.
Okay.
So, I mean, you got a little bit of that. But, you know, there was not much comic relief, I think. And it's really serious.
In the first one.
Yeah, in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going to the second one, I feel a little bit the same way. It's a very competent superhero film with some actual stakes. And you feel like people could get hurt. Yeah?
But not The Incredibles, really.
No.
Not really, no.
Not really.
No.
But it is a...
I see your point there, but
yeah.
I'm not sure I can actually agree with it.
No?
That strongly, you know? It's not like Dark or anything.
It's not. I mean, it's still an entertaining superhero film.
That is the main thing. This is extremely entertaining, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I would say to describe this, and it is just it's over 2 hours long.
Is it?
Yes, 2 hours, 5 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
I was going to say, what do you think about that? It's could have shaved like 50 minutes, but then you would get a little less deep into the family life and such.
And that was my main enjoyment out of this movie. I loved those parts. I was always looking forward to getting back into the house and see the domestic disputes, problems.
Yeah.
That was just great.
But since we watched the first one, just a couple of nights before we watched this one in the theater, we can kind of compare the animation, and this is where you come in strongly with your animation brain, really.
My animated brain. Yes.
What did you think? Was there like progression over 14
it's been
years?
14 years.
Yes, 14 years. What did you feel was like a huge progression?
Huge progression.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was almost weird. Because they go back to where they left off, because the first one left on a cliffhanger of sorts with the underminer.
The underminer coming. Yeah. John Ratzenberger.
Yeah. Okay.
From Cheers.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
The Cliff Clavin, the mailman.
Good fact.
Yes.
Yeah.
Little known fact.
Yeah, little known fact. It was Cheers. Cheers. But they left off right there. They basically just started in medias res right in the middle of the story.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden with much more rendering power.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was much more real, much more gritty. There was much
possible
more detail.
Is it possible because you saw it in a theater and then you saw it in this thing here? I didn't notice such a great difference. I know the subtle differences, but I'm not you.
No, it's possible. It's possible, but there are some obvious things with facial animation.
Yeah,
that has gone a long
way. I get
way.
That.
So
absolutely.
All of a sudden, everybody is much more animated, real. Animated, it seems like it's real animation, emotions they convey. Mr. Incredible has much more fine detail around his face with wrinkles and stuff like that, and they use that because he's getting a little bit tired about of being at home dad. and you see the stubble and all that kind of stuff. You wouldn't have been able to do it at such great detail 14 years ago. You know, there's all that. And then all the, as I talked to you about particle effects, all this ambience around the scenes, dust in the air and stuff like that.
You couldn't do it
before. Also, lighting, absolutely amazing in this movie. Some of the bedroom scenes. I was thinking about the first movie when Mr. Incredible comes home from a police radio scanner night and eating some cake and then meeting his wife waiting up for him and busting him. Basically, it's a very good scene. It's a very good home dispute scene, and there's very little light there because it's during the night and only one light source and all that kind of stuff. But it seems completely flat compared to this movie. There's also some bedroom scenes. Not like that.
Not like that.
No. Not like that.
Strike that.
But the lighting is absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
There's one scene.
Incredible, you say?
Yes, it is incredible. No pun intended. I think it's way and beyond the first one.
My untrained eye didn't get quite such a difference, but I got the obvious things,
Facial detail.
Facial details.
Yeah.
That's amazing now.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned it last time with Coco.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And in this one with Elastigirl, who's played by Holly Hunter,
they've
kind of got that little detail. She has a thing that she does when she talks. Yeah.
Her lip
There's
thing.
There's something she does, I don't know quite what it is.
No.
But they get it.
Yeah. And she's such an, Holly Hunt. Holly Hunt.
Holly Hunter.
Hunter?
Yes.
Yes. She is
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Holly Hunter.
Yes.
Okay.
Such an unlikely character for a superhero, but as Elastigirl, it works. But yes. Her voice and stuff, it's just like, it's weird seeing her in Elastigirl.
Would you say she is the star of this film?
So much.
Yes.
And that leads me on to this other point, which is very strange because it's directly connected with the previous movie.
Okay.
There's no time has passed from the first movie to the other movie, but the state of the world today compared to the state of the world then is vastly different. And I think that
2004, 2018.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
We have much more focus on women, which means there's so much more focus on women here, which is refreshing. I think it's great focusing on Elastigirl. I think she's such like a much more interesting character than Mr. Incredible. Also, just to look at with her nimbleness, mm-hmm. that they actually make a point out of in the movie that she's less destructive.
Yeah,
but I like that nimble way of moving around, and it makes for more interesting encounters.
I actually thought when watching the first one, why is that a superpower to be
stretchable, flexible?
We can see it straight away in that scene with the train and everything. That's a great scene though, isn't it?
Yeah, but she's not doing so much.
She gets she can do everything basically.
Yeah.
Basically fly and whatever, it's
you know, the fun thing about it in the first movie was that she was a stay-at-home mom,
mm-hmm.
but she had two superhero kids. Well, three actually.
Yeah, yeah.
And she needed to be flexible in order to actually handle it. So I thought that was a great point somehow, mm-hmm. that even like stay-at-home moms are superheroes, in order to balance everything. And they take that a little bit further also here by putting Mr. Incredible at home. And, you really need to, you need to do a lot of stuff in order to keep a family running.
Yeah.
But
we kind of get that.
Yeah. But we kind of get that.
No, I mean, in the movie, I mean that. I'm not complaining.
No, you're not complaining. No.
But staying on the animation, what about the detail they did with Bob Odenkirk?
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they drew the character out from his image, didn't they?
They did.
They must have.
Yeah. You know, Bob Odenkirk is Saul from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they used his character to great... Not extent.
Yeah, because he's kind of a fishy. You hear Bob Odenkirk and you think, well, that's a bit fishy.
He's like that salesman character where you don't quite know if you should believe what he's saying or not, but he sells it really well.
And here he plays this guy who we are introduced to as this great guy, and you immediately go, really? Is he a great guy? Bob Odenkirk? Saul?
No.
Can't
he's fishy.
It's fishy.
Yeah.
Which is quite brilliant.
Yeah. It is very brilliant. And I think, if it was another character, you would probably still be on the edge there, thinking, can this be real? Yeah. It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
But you continue to think, this is, something is on here.
And we have the great Catherine Keener here.
Yes.
Are we in agreement of just saying it, just the great...
Yeah.
Catherine Keener.
Always when I see Catherine Keener on the bill.
Love her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you notice it was Catherine Keener, though?
I did not.
No.
I had read she was in it, but I didn't think about it. But I was thinking, who is that? Yeah. I know that voice. Who is
they
that?
They made her look very much like Helena Bonham Carter.
A little bit. A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had some other actress in mind, American actress. I don't remember.
Olivia Wilde?
TV actress. I don't know.
Okay. But
But anyway, she plays Vincent Devers' sister. Bob Odenkirk's sister.
Yes. Okay. Yes. I was like, what? Who?
Just staying on the cast. It's a great cast. Mm-hmm. Craig T. Nelson. How old is he now? I don't know. I was thinking, is he a bit old for this? But
who?
Craig T. Nelson.
Who is?
Mr. Incredible.
Mr. Incredible.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know if he's too old.
I think he's old now, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He does a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cast is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to complain about there.
No, and I think they actually did a really good thing, as you said, with Bob Odenkirk and some of these characters to get really, like, to pull on your expectations somehow before. Mm. Also, especially with Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
It looks like Bob Odenkirk. Like, it looks like Saul.
Yeah.
A bit more stylized, but you can see, hey, that's supposed to be that guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it looks like a nice, fresh... Version of Bob yes. Odenkirk.
Before he got into all that trouble at Breaking Bad.
The nice Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
But another Breaking Bad connection is Jonathan Banks, mm-hmm. who steps in to play the... wow.
I don't know who he plays. It's Ehrman Trout.
Ehrman Trout, yes. The lawyer that saves them all the time.
Yeah.
Nothing much else to say about the cast, really.
No.
We have, of course, Brad Bird as Edna.
Yeah.
Again.
Again.
And he's good.
He's very good.
I think we kind of like Brad Bird.
Yeah, I think so too. Especially when he does animation.
Yeah.
I told you last time I didn't watch Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Brad Bird still has this fetish with the 50s and 60s.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Moving into eras, times.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Good.
The time frame. Again, we talked about it during watching the first mm-hmm. one. Where are we?
Yeah. I was still saying, when are we? 50, 60s, you know, around that time.
Maybe. So much of it doesn't really fit with the technology and stuff, but it looks like kind of a futuristic throwback.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a vision of the future from the 50s or 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's very particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that stuff going on. I've seen it in several different movies and computer games. that take this notion of, you know, everything could have been so much more advanced had the Cold War not funneled all that energy into nuclear war instead.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe it's that kind of stuff. This one, because they had so much more rendering power and being able to put so much more focus on all the backgrounds and other people, it just seemed much more focused on that particular era, you know, the 60s. 60s? Would you say 60s? 50s, rather?
Maybe 50s rather, but closer to 2010 than 50s, really.
Yeah. And they have had a levitating train, left train.
I'm reminded of a quote from the 70s show from Red, Kurtwood Smith. He said, they promised us flying cars. And he was mad, like, there are no flying cars. And he was talking about the 50s then.
Yeah.
So... I kind of get that mentality.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's in the 50s, I would say. It's just a different kind of dimension where technology had evolved a little bit quicker.
Yeah.
But it's still that. In this movie, you have tube TVs. You have old-fashioned tube TVs. They don't have flat screens.
What about in the mansion they moved to? They have
flat screens.
They have flat screens?
No.
They don't have flat screens.
No, it was water. Yeah. They had a lot of water stuff.
She did have a phone on the bike, Elastigirl.
She had a screen on her bike.
She had a screen. Yes. So no cell phones yet.
No cell phones.
But some still very advanced technology going on. But no cell phones.
No.
Very careful about that.
Yeah, no cell phones. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of the most intriguing things about this franchise, I'd say.
Yeah.
The placement in time.
Yeah. I think so.
It's fun.
Yeah. I think so too. I like it, and it's a fun style. But again, knowing Brad Bird, then it's also because he just wants to do this thing. Mm. And it matches very well to the James Bond theme. Of course, there's a bit more superhero theme now.
James Bond slash superhero slash Star Wars, maybe.
Yeah, one thing I noticed was, I mean, you mentioned it also when we started watching this movie. They redid the whole Disney logo in the Incredibles style and red.
Yeah.
Kind of like James Bond.
A little bit, yeah.
And it ended with this ball, like red sphere.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking they're going to move this sphere into the middle and have like Elastigirl and Mr. Incredible walk in there and shoot it, you know? It was so much nodding to James Bond.
Are Disney owners of the James Bond franchise now?
I don't think so.
No.
So they're probably not allowed to.
No.
but there was so much James Bond going on. Mm. But then it turned into more of a superhero thing.
Slightly Star Wars-y at times.
Star Wars-y?
There was something, I'm trying to remember what it was, but I thought maybe it was the first one.
Yeah. Maybe.
Mm.
Not a very good point there. Yeah. Like entering the hangar. Hangar.
What are you talking?
Hangar? Oh my God. This is a live show.
Yeah. Entering the what now?
Like they have this area where planes are coming and landing.
Yeah.
Hangar?
Landing area.
Yeah, but you can say hangar. In Danish.
What?
And I think you can say it in like English as well. Yeah? No?
No? I don't think so.
Hangar?
Hangar? Sound like something out of
Wayne's World. Well, landing area.
Yeah.
Yes. You said that looks like Star Wars right there.
Okay,
you
whispered that. We have some comments here.
Do we?
Yeah.
Should we take a break and look at the comments? What are they saying?
It's about the Incredibles 2. And it's from my friend Gwune.
Okay.
Who is a friend of the show, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He said, would you like to live in the Incredibles house?
Which one?
Well, the obviously last one. I'd like to live in the good one.
Yes.
Except I'd be afraid of simply dropping into the water, though.
I would be too.
Something.
Yeah.
But he says, on a serious note, having Elastigirl be the star is this then an anti-dad movie like Taken, i.e. Taken? Because in the first movie, he was a good guy with great skills. And blah, 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 blah. Okay, anti-dad movie. No? What do you think?
I don't think it's an anti-dad movie.
No. Maybe it's a stay-at-home dad movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we related so much to
this. Yes. We're about to go into that, actually.
Yeah.
Because we haven't talked about the family stuff.
No.
No. But no, I wouldn't say it's a no.
You know, you could say that it's a dad movie on more occasions because you get more of Elastigirl.
Yeah.
Which apparently, I mean, she's not wearing, she's wearing a tight fit costume, and I think a lot of people are just like enjoying spending time with her dads and men in particular.
Yeah.
At least I've seen some memes with Elastigirl like being sexualized, which is weird in a way because it's an animated movie. But the domestic scenes.
Yeah.
You want to go into those?
Yeah. Just before he comes back and says, I asked the question because for me, the first one was never a kid's movie. Just kind of,
It was not a kid's movie.
No.
But what?
Hidden in the clothes of a kid's movie, he says.
Yeah. But it's true. Yeah. That's what we went into before.
Yeah, we agree to that. Really.
And the same thing with this one. It's not a kid's movie. I don't think so.
I wouldn't be afraid to show this to Simile, though.
You wouldn't?
No.
I think it's a bit...
Of course, he doesn't know the word scared yet.
No. Like Ruska does.
Yeah, Ruska knows bang.
Yeah, she knows it.
And is sometimes... But I've never had him say, I'm scared of anything.
No.
So I don't know.
No.
No?
He's not. He's also a little bit more, like, fearful.
Yeah.
Fierce.
He's fierce, yes.
Like he, he's been like... running around with a sword and just being like, and running, running, running.
Sometimes he's like a lion.
Yeah. He's very, like,
it's, yeah.
And, you know, seeing him and seeing Resqa, I'm thinking whether it's a boy-girl kind of thing.
Yeah.
I really don't want it to be. You know, I think it's just like a thing.
Yeah.
You know, but everybody is saying like guys are so much more like, and girls are much more like caring or whatever.
Yeah.
But I really hope it's not like that. But I mean, seeing it here, it's just so like obvious that there are differences, at least. And I'm sure that you're not really bringing him up any different way than we are bringing Resqa up.
No.
You know, we're quite similar somehow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still. Mm-hmm. It's different. Yeah.
Yeah. But we agree. I mean, it's not, the dad is not saving the day, but he, like he did in the first one.
No, he's a bit
maybe
of a
that is, yeah.
Here.
Maybe that is a difference from the first one, where he does save the day. Well, they all come together
they
to save the day.
They all come together.
But that's also, the focus is definitely more on Elastigirl here.
Yeah. It is, but is still they need primary, each other in order to get together. But it's
well, they need the kids actually to
they need the kids.
Defeat evil.
It's not about the women or the men. It's about the kids.
Yeah,
and
so it's not dad saves the day anymore.
No
kind of thing. No,
no.
And thank you, Gwynne, for the question.
Yes, thank
we
you.
We appreciate
Gwynne.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And he also said, "It says dad saves the day."
Hey, he is on fire.
Yes, he
is. What are you looking forward to see in the later part of the year?
We'll take that a little bit later.
Later.
Yes.
Yes.
When we wrap this thing up.
Yes, okay. Yeah.
We were both having a blast with the domestic
absolutely.
Scenes. I don't want to spoil too much, but I mean, both of us were practically crying. Of laughter.
Of laughter, not
of
crying,
laughter.
Crying.
No.
No.
I had a little bit of that.
I didn't.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that afterwards. But,
look
my
at that.
God.
Ice cream truck.
Ice cream truck.
Yes. This is the part of the day where we usually run out and get ice cream for the kids.
Yeah. Okay.
But.
Yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, we were practically crying at this one scene. And what surprised me about it was that I always enjoyed all the scenes with Mr. Incredible at home with the kids trying to juggle this whole thing. And
that was my favorite part.
I told you that I didn't like Jack-Jack in the first movie. I thought it was a little bit too much. You know, I also saw the short film, which goes much more into detail about his powers. Than the movie actually does.
Yeah.
But here it just worked perfectly because it was such a great analogy to how it is to balance everything in the home. You know, it obviously people don't go like Resqa doesn't go on flames, like flaming completely.
She doesn't escape
to
another dimension or anything like that.
She doesn't
not
do
yet.
That.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, you know, that one scene where he actually escapes to another dimension and Mr. Incredible is so tired. It's completely out of, you know, I mean, it's so surreal, but it resonated so well with me, like how I felt at some occasions with Resqa. And I was just like crying of laughter. But I was keeping myself back because it's like, this is so silly.
Yeah,
but
it's so silly. I agree. I was just like...
It just hit me.
You know, just wiping tears because it was so funny. We were just crying with laughter.
Yes. Oh my God. It was fun.
Yeah,
that was
it was fun.
Yeah.
We like Jack-Jack a little bit now.
Yeah, That being said, they take it a little bit further. I'm not sure if I'm completely on board with that, but it's nothing that subtracts from the greatness of this film. It is a very good film.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that the focus is on the kids,
mm-hmm.
that they have to realize what their powers actually are, Mm-hmm. Well, they did that in the first movie, but here they have to really use them together and save the day.
Except Dash doesn't really shine that much.
Because he can just run really fast.
Yeah.
They should have done something like Superman, like going around the Earth really quickly in order to change the rotation speed and stuff like that. Like, they should have...
There's an idea.
Put him a little bit more into
there's
it.
There's an idea. Yeah. Mm.
But they didn't.
No.
But, yeah. There's a... Do you have anything else to the domestic stuff in this film?
I don't think so. Except that I liked it a lot. I wanted to maybe talk a little bit about the characters. How they, like... I mean, let's do that. I mean, it's a superhero animation film. But they take their time. They do take their time. Yeah. But still, it's not really that deep or anything.
No.
It's not really that deep or anything. It's... You can't really do that with a superhero, can you? Is it even possible to really do deep stuff, character stuff on a superhero?
No, but there was some stuff.
I don't think so.
You know, I don't think so. Like, whenever either of us say that, I'm thinking of Elastigirl saying that.
Yeah.
She like, in the beginning of The Incredibles, there's this, like, Super 8... kind of like small film, narrow film segment.
Well,
and she's like, can we leave the world to the men to take care of it? I don't think so. I don't think so. She's saying, and they actually put in a little cameo from that movie in the TV in Incredibles 2, where she's saying, I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're saying that, I'm thinking it. Like, I'm thinking think so. Elastigirl. Yes, I don't think so. Yeah, but no, you can't go that deep.
No, you can't really do it. But
one of my points here, I want to put that in a little bit, because 14 years has passed.
Yeah.
The world is different.
Yeah.
We have gotten an immense amount of superhero films.
Oh, my God.
Ever since.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I didn't catch up with it, but I think Iron Man, the first Marvel film, was probably after Incredibles.
Sure, yeah.
And now Marvel has made so many movies about superheroes. And yet, 14 years later, I watch Incredibles 2, and I was more entertained than I've ever been with a superhero film.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of those newer superhero films. And there's much more nerve and immediacy and relevance in this film than I've seen in any of the Marvel films.
I agree.
You agree?
Yeah. I haven't seen much of it.
No, but
the Marvel stuff. Because I just don't care for it.
No. But you know, they do the same thing. Like, the one thing we said when we exited live show. The one thing we both said when we exited was that this is a very good entertaining movie. Like, it's entertainment done really well. I was with it all the way.
It's 2 hours of your life and you don't miss it.
No. Really.
It's well spent.
Yeah. Well spent.
Yeah.
I can't say that for other superhero films from the Marvel universe, at least. Mm. Because there's always some weird silliness to it. And some, like, overindulgence of the action scenes.
Yeah.
And Brad Bird has a way of doing action scenes really well. Noticed that you were laughing a lot at the Void girl doing some portal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was very good. Reminded me very much of a game called Portal and Portal 2.
A video game
where you have to do exactly that.
Oh my God.
You know, and they use the same kind of thing. Like, when you jump in through a portal, then you come out the other way with the same velocity and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's kind of mind-bending stuff, but it works so well and it's hilarious to look at. And Yeah, it just, like, it's so well-constructed action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen that in other Marvel films and stuff, because here it actually made sense, and it was quick. They didn't prolong these action scenes for the eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It was 1 minute, maybe. A lot of fun, imaginative situations, mm-hmm. and we were out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Back again on... Yeah, yeah, whatever other storyline they had.
Yeah, the 2 hours didn't feel...
No.
You weren't... You were always entertained and just enjoying being there.
Yeah.
I can't comment on the other stuff because I just haven't seen that much of the Marvel stuff.
No.
I don't want to spend my time doing that.
They're not good.
I just like accept that you're right here.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. One other thing I wanted to mention is that we have a Lynch connection. That's Isabella Rossellini.
Yeah.
As...
Yeah. I don't know where that came from.
As the ambassador, which Elastigirl gets to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's good.
Yeah.
Thanks, David Lynch. They're not together anymore, though.
But they were. Yeah. They were together.
Yeah.
Good job, Mr. Lynch.
Yes.
Yes.
So here she's the ambassador. She's getting saved.
Yeah.
And also, it's a very good name for the main villain, Screenslaver. Mm.
Screenslaver.
Yes. I chuckled.
Screenslaver.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Music.
Amazing.
Amazing music.
Yes.
These songs there in the end
about
the characters
and Frozone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also stuff. Mr. Incredible, but yeah. Mr. Incredible's song was the least eventful of them all.
But good stuff, Mr. Yes. Michael Giacchino. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for mentioning his name.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah.
He did the first one as well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just so fitting. It is so refreshing having that era. Again, it all comes back to the era. They're true to the era.
Yeah. Especially in the music. That is very Bondy, isn't it?
It's
very Bondy.
It is.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very fitting.
Uh-huh.
Stylistically, it's just very good.
Mm-hmm. I see we have another comment now.
Ooh.
Yeah. They're coming in from...
Is this like anonymous or should we reveal the name?
We can reveal the first name. Let's do that.
Yeah, this is Eileen.
Yeah, my girlfriend.
Yes.
Yes. Baby mama.
Yes, yes. She is probably listening. And Edna, she's asking about Edna. Is she as fabulous in the second one as she is in the first one?
I do think she's even more fabulous.
And Brad Bird being Edna is also fabulous, as we mentioned.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a resounding yes.
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 Look forward to that, Eileen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have anything else on Incredibles 2?
Well, the time, blah, blah, Jack. Well, I have a few. I actually only have one bad thing. I don't know if we should go into that.
You can just throw it out there.
Because even though this movie is very stylized and it's kind of out there, weird, all the characters are usually human.
Mm-hmm.
I think one thing that took me out of the movie a little bit.
Oh, you got taken out of the movie, did you?
was some of the superheroes that they gathered. There was like a big guy called Brick.
I agree with that.
Which was a little bit too much like...
Video game stuff.
There's also like a guy that was a little bit fun with like some sort of throw up syndrome. Like an old guy who was always throwing up. That was his superpower, apparently. And it's a bit too much. And there was a guy also looking like a bat or something.
Yeah.
And it seemed like it was taking out of Despicable Me or something, like a character out of those kind of movies where people are a little bit more extreme.
Yeah.
And what I like about The Incredibles is that it is real people. They just have talents. But these people were really not maybe people.
It's diversity in action.
Maybe it is.
If I'm going to just say something against you.
Yeah.
It's diversity in action. What do you think? Should we say that?
I think it's a bit too much.
But it took you out of the movie. I get that.
Like I was thinking, they shouldn't have gone that far. I really liked Void. Void was kind of like not fitting in person, mm-hmm. you know,
in
society, trying all these kind of things. I've been there with my pink hair and all that kind of stuff. She was there like and kind of submissive, kind of like looking up to people, didn't know where to put herself. She was very insecure of herself. I loved that character. I really liked Void.
Played by Sophia Bush.
Who is?
I don't know. Sophia Bush.
Yes, Sophia Bush. Okay.
No relation, hopefully.
Very good. Very good. Yeah.
I got the name.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did we mention Catherine Keener?
Yes, we did. I said the great.
The great Catherine Keener. Yeah.
I'll stand by that.
Yes.
Yes.
And also in this movie. And, you know, one thing I noted down was, you know, you have this focus on women, mm-hmm. of course. This movie really turns everything on its head and extract any real, you know, male involvement.
Mm.
Everything is like the villain, the superhero.
Yeah.
The best superheroes of the evil superheroes are also women.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have the kids. And basically, the Mr. Incredible is just a big brute who is like smashing everything.
Yeah, he's a little outdated. That he's brutish like a, type.
Yeah,
maybe that's a point that's being made.
Yeah, I think even when they made the movie, it was fun to see him like being a bit of a brute.
Yeah,
you know, but there was also a point to him being a little bit not so sophisticated.
It's a stereotype, of course, but this is full of them.
Yeah.
Frozone is a stereotype. He's just basically Shaft.
Yeah.
He's basically and Shaft, and he has these turtlenecks and everything, and he's jabbing, you know, all that.
I would have loved more of him, actually, now it comes down to it, because he kind of disappears from the movie.
You always want more of Sam Jackson, don't you?
Not always.
I do.
Not these
I
days.
Do.
Not
yeah.
these days.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. I would like more of him because
standalone movie maybe? Spin-off?
No, thanks.
No.
Maybe Elastigirl.
No. Let's just do number 3 because they have like unfinished business, I think, on the cutting board.
Yeah, the makers. You said something
about
that.
Read something
about
that.
Yeah.
What was something that all Brad about? Bird said that they had to move the release date up 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of cut it down, cut some stuff out, storylines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So they have some material basically ready or storylines.
Okay.
So I wouldn't mind a third.
Maybe
because it's
that was Dash again.
Yeah.
Because there was a very, like, it was very apparent that Dash was not very much in this movie.
Let me just say this. I don't mind it because I don't like something number 3, but I don't mind it here because this is pure entertainment.
It is.
Yeah.
But
a very good one.
Pure entertainment that actually has a heart. And it actually has something to go for.
It has relevance and great style.
Yeah. Yeah. And what we laughed about, what we responded to the most was actually all the real emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And just go see it. I mean, if only for Jack, just go see it. So funny. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So
I think that's it.
That,
I think
is that
that's
about it.
Yeah. That they would just decide what to do next and stuff like that.
Okay. So if you have any other comments and you're not in the chat room right now, that is just like flowing with comments from a few people, you can still write to us at contact@theconversationpodcast.net or find us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, everywhere.
Anywhere.
if you forgot all the places we are, just go to theconversationpodcast.net and you'll find everything you need there.
Yeah. Hopefully we've drummed up some business today.
Hopefully.
For next time,
yeah,
we are thinking maybe Hereditary.
I'm pushing for it
because it's out in Iceland now, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And that relates to Glúni's question, what we're looking forward to. I'm just really looking forward to that. Yeah. I have nothing else really on the horizon that is really exciting me.
I am actually looking forward to Disenchantment, or Disenchanted, the Matt Groening series.
Okay. On Netflix.
They're actually releasing that on Netflix in August. And as I told you before, Matt Groening has made The Simpsons
in the present,
Futurama in the future. And then we have this new thing going on where he's going back to the past, the medieval times.
Yeah.
It'll be great. Well, hopefully. You never saw Futurama, did you?
I should do that.
Yeah, you should. Yeah. You should. It's a little bit geeky. That's geeky.
Better.
But it's so great. There's a lot of binary jokes, for instance.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of jokes that go over your own head, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but you understand that there's a joke there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
sometimes that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been thinking about going into that.
Yeah.
Me and similarly watch Skripo sometimes.
What is Skripo?
it's cartoons.
Okay.
And we usually watch Family Guy on my phone.
Yeah. Okay. And
he really likes it.
Yeah.
So, but maybe Futurama is something we should look at.
You should, because it's very good. They have a lot of stuff to say, but it looks like a children's cartoon, and it's not too scary. Not that Simalia knows the word scary yet, but he would probably just enjoy looking at all the colors.
Yeah,
I think.
One question we should just do in the end from Glúni again.
Mm-hmm.
He says, bit off topic, but everything is franchise now. But what old family movie franchise should be brought back? And he says, mine are either Honey, I Shrunk the Kids or Back to the Future. Both would fit nowadays.
Back to the Future should never be.
No.
Brought back.
No.
No, I don't think so.
No more Marty McFly.
If you watch The Incredibles 2, there is a little bit about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, at least the fourth movie with a giant baby.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Is there anything that comes to mind?
Franchises that I really want brought back. Family movie franchises.
Yeah.
I mean, we have an Indiana Jones coming back again.
What about Little House on the Prairie? How about making that a movie?
Never, never, never did that. Never, never, never. Yeah, but I don't know. Like movies?
Yeah.
Family movie that I really enjoyed from... Like,
it's a tough one.
It's tough to do live on the air.
Right here, right now.
Yeah, right here, right now.
No.
do you have any?
We'll think about that one and get back to y'all.
But family-friendly. Yeah. Like in Denmark, they keep on bringing back these like good ones from the golden era of farce comedy stuff. So Olsen Benden and... Father to Four, and I don't really think they have benefited from being brought back.
Yeah, I see.
So I really enjoy when people try something new and fresh, kind of like Coco the other day.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that was the most important thing about that was that it was new IP, like intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a completely new idea, and it works, and we're on board.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't want to go in and see something where I know something beforehand, or seeing a different version of it. I mean, Spider-Man, like talking about like superhero films, Spider-Man has been rebooted so many times because he has shifted hands from one company to another company into a different company. And it's just not very great, you know, like it's not good getting new stories about the same characters again and again, mm-hmm. I think. Just before, we actually got another comment here.
OMG182.
Yeah. Great. Thanks for all your comments. It's great to see that there's some action.
Well, someone there is watching, you know.
Yeah.
He says, or she, I really like listening to you guys. Don't agree with anything, but which is a good thing. Great show.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Erlin
says as well, thanks for an awesome show.
Yeah.
And we're happy. Great. Are we happy with the show? First live show?
I think I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
I do like here at the end think my audio could be improved, you know, that's me producing while going online and everything, so
yeah.
The show will be out tomorrow, regular time. Yeah. Everything we've yeah. just given you a preview while we've been recording it,
yeah,
and
it's gonna go out pretty much like this.
It will,
yeah
pretty much completely like this. So yeah, if you tuned in here, don't bother to listen to it. Or do.
Tell your friends, you know.
Yes,
tell your friends. But I think it's just time to say goodbye.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening, tuning in. And we had a blast.
We had a blast. My heat is going down here. Like I was very, very sweaty at one point. Now it's much better. Maybe also just like the nerves.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe the nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just cooler. I don't know. Maybe.
Could be.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody.
Yeah. And go out and watch Incredibles 2.
Do it.
All right.
Okay.
See you later. Bye.